when the Ammonites waged war against Israel, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was asked if he would lead Israel against the Ammonites. Now, Jephthah appears to have been a man of God. If not a man of God, is certainly a very religious individual, especially when we consider the following verses. You look there at chapter 11 and the verse 9. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And so here he speaks about the Lord. You look at verse 11. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And so we see there that Jephthah was very conscious of the Lord, what he would say before the Lord, that the Lord took note and, as it were, was listening to all that he had to say. And then you go down to verse 29. And in verse 29, there we read, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah as he passed over Gilead. And so he spoke about the Lord. He was aware of the Lord, and now we have the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. Now, even the best of men are only men at best. And before Jephthah led Israel out against Ammon, he made a vow. Turned out to be a very rash vow. And we read about it there in verses 31 and 32. 31 we read, then, maybe we'll get verse 30 to give us the context, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. So Jephthah makes a vow unto the Lord, and once again he's aware of the Lord. It's not a vow that he made to any of the elders in Israel. He made it to the Lord. And he told the Lord that if the Lord granted him victory over the Ammonites, then whatever would come out to meet him on his return, we're told, he said, it shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Well, Jephthah returns from battle victorious. And we read in verse 34, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now you can see there where the controversy lies. Jephthah made a vow that whatever met him after he returned from the battle, he would offer it as a burnt offering unto the Lord. And when he returned, the person who met him was his only daughter. Now what about his vow? The question then is, did Jephthah offer his daughter as a burnt offering unto the Lord? That's the heart of the controversy. Did he actually slay his only daughter in accordance with his vow and offer her as a burnt offering unto the Lord? Now there's been quite a bit of debate over whether or not Jephthah actually sacrificed his daughter in accordance with his vow. Some commentators are adamant that he did. They're adamant that he fulfilled his vow and he did sacrifice his only daughter as a burnt offering. The other side of the argument, there are those commentators, and they're just as adamant that he didn't offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice. Now I have read this portion of Scripture over and over and over again. I've studied every verse, and I have come to my own conclusion. This is not what any of the commentators have said. This is my own conclusion. You can read the chapter yourself and come to your conclusion. But I'll give you my conclusion and I'll give you my arguments for the conclusion that I've come to. In studying this portion of Scripture, I have come to the conclusion that Jephthah did not offer up his daughter as a burnt offering. And my reasons for reaching this conclusion are as follows. First of all, the sacrificing of children as a burnt offering was a pagan practice and forbidden by the law of God. Now some of the commentators have agreed to that, but at the same time they have said that in the days of Jephthah there was such paganism throughout the whole land that in all probability this pagan practice was carried out even amongst the Israelites. Well, that may be so. It doesn't get away from the point that it was forbidden by the Lord. You turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 35. Jeremiah 32 and verse 35. Here we have the practice of the worshippers of Baal. Verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. Molech was the false god that the Baal worshippers offered their children unto. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So you can see that it was not only a practice amongst the pagans, but it was seen and found amongst the Israelites, who also had built altars to Baal and turned away from Jehovah, and they also engaged in this abomination, the Lord called it, in offering sons and daughters to Molech. I'd like you to go back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20. Now, though we'll be considering Jephthah's daughter today, we want to consider this matter with regard to the vow that Jephthah made. And in Leviticus chapter 20, we read in the opening two verses, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." And so I believe we can see that it is very clear that this practice of offering up children as burnt offerings was forbidden by the Lord. And the Lord called it an abomination. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward, Psalm 127. And so the Lord would not expect any of his children, any of his people, to offer up their heritage by way of sacrificing their children as a burnt offering. That's my first reason for saying that Jephthah did not offer up his daughter as a burnt offering, because it was forbidden by the Lord. Secondly, look at verse 31 of Judges 11. "Then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors," this is Jephthah's vow, "then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it for a burnt offering." Now there you have the verse around which all the controversy and all the debate rages. These words are very important. I want you to notice what Jephthah actually said. "Then it shall be," this is his vow, "then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house." Now, if Jephthah was thinking about a human sacrifice, Jephthah would not have used the word "whatsoever." He would have used the word whosoever. If he was thinking about a human sacrifice, he would have said, whosoever. Whether it's my daughter or someone else. But he would have used the word whosoever instead. He uses the word whatsoever. So that surely indicates to us that Jephthah was not thinking about a human sacrifice as a burnt offering. It certainly included a human coming to him from the door of his house. But it could also have been an animal, because he uses the word whatsoever. In other words, whatever, human or animal. But then you go down to the end of the verse. And he says that it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now you look at those words. And I believe that Jephthah was speaking about two different things. He says, whatsoever cometh unto me from the doors of my house. If it is a human, and in this case it was his daughter, then she shall surely be the Lord's. But if an animal comes to meet him, or an animal is the first thing that he sees, then, he says, I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now do you see the difference? If it is a human being, and it turned out to be his daughter, then he says, she shall surely be the Lord's. I will give her to the Lord. Which is what he did. I will give her to the Lord. Now look at that word and. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. The word and may be rendered or. O-R. Now I read it. Whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering. In other words, if my daughter comes to meet me, she shall be the Lord's. I will dedicate her to the Lord. Or, so this is different from dedicating his daughter to the Lord. Or, I will offer it up for the burnt offering. Notice again, he uses the word it. So he's not talking about a human being. He's not at this time, at this stage, talking about his daughter. He wouldn't call his daughter it. But he may call an animal it. Now that verse 31 is important. So I trust you can see the argument that I'm putting forth. Then it shall be that whatsoever. Whatsoever, could be anything, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, shall surely be the Lord's. All I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And so it was his daughter that came to meet him. Wasn't an animal sacrifice, it was his daughter. So what did he do with his daughter? as a result of his vow, he gave her to the Lord. She shall surely be the Lord's. We come now to the third argument. Since his daughter was the first to meet him, she wasn't offered as a burnt offering, but was given to the Lord to serve him in some full-time capacity. Now, those who say that Jephthah did offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice use the words of verse 35 as proof. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." He has made a vow. And he's saying, "I cannot go back on my vow." And he's saying also, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me." And so those who say that Jephthah did offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice say that's why Jephthah was very sad. "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me." "I'm troubled," they tell us. Jephthah was troubled because he was going to offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice, his only daughter. But wait a minute. I'll give you another reason why Jephthah was sad, and why Jephthah felt some sorrow in his heart. Yes, he said, "I have opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back." But then we look at Jephthah's daughter, and we see that the thing that saddened her was the fact that she was a young woman, and if she was going to be dedicated and given over to the Lord, what saddened her was that she could never marry, and therefore never be a mother in Israel. And in this course of studies, we have noted how every Jewish woman wanted to be a mother. We have just finished that study of Hannah, and how Hannah was brokenhearted because she had no children. And here was Jephthah's daughter, and because of her father's vow of him giving her fully to the Lord in some full-time capacity, then she would never be able to marry, which means she would never be able to have children. And that's what saddened her, because you will note that when she asked permission of her father if she could go up into the mountains with her friends and spend 2 months there, that's what was on her mind. It wasn't being offered up as a burnt sacrifice. That's not what was on her mind. That's not what she discussed with her friends. We're told there in verse 37, she wanted to go up into the mountain. She said, "Let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail. Not that I'm going to be offered as a burnt sacrifice, but bewail my virginity, I and my friends." That's what she went there to bewail, because she was never going to be able to be married and bear children. That's what she bewailed. That's what filled her with sorrow. And that's what filled Jephthah with sorrow. Because of his rash vow. He had to follow through in his vow. He was to give his daughter to the Lord in some full-time capacity, which would mean then that she could never marry, never have a husband, and therefore never have children. We read in the verse 39, she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he vowed. Now, if Jephthah's daughter, or if Jephthah slew his daughter, offered her for a burnt sacrifice, then there was no need for the Holy Spirit to record the following words. Because we read again in verse 39, and it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. If she was slain, there was no need for those words to be put there. She knew no man. Now you follow the argument that I'm giving. Jephthah dedicated his daughter to the Lord to serve him in some full-time capacity, which entailed her never being able to get married or to have children. And that's why we have the words that Jephthah did with her according to his vow. He dedicated her to the Lord, and she knew no man. That's the commentary. Upon the rest of her days, she knew no man. There was no need for those words if Jephthah had slain his daughter. Would you turn with me to Numbers? Probably going to take up all my time this morning just dealing with the introduction, but I believe this is important. And again, if you come across it or someone comes to you with a question about this, well, perhaps it will be a little clearer. Turning to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers 8. And we read in verse 11. Numbers 8 and verse 11. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. So here the Levites are described as an offering unto the Lord. They're described as an offering. But they're not slain. They're not sacrificed. They're offered to the Lord that they may execute the service of the Lord. Now do we see the connection? We read on in verse 12. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. There's the bullocks being offered, in keeping with what Jephthah said. So you can see now the picture is, I trust it's coming a little clearer. Here you have the Levites, and they're described as being offered as an offering to the Lord, but they weren't slain. But we read here, the bullocks were offered to the Lord, but they were slain. And I believe that's what Jephthah had in mind. I believe that's what Jephthah had in mind. He offered his daughter to the Lord in the same capacity as the Levites were offered to the Lord. And the other, that's the other bullet for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. But they weren't slain, they weren't killed. It wasn't a burnt offering, it wasn't a sacrifice, but nevertheless they were still offered to the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. And I believe that it was in that capacity that Jephthah's daughter was offered to the Lord to carry out some service like the Levites in a full-time capacity in the tabernacle, which entailed then that you could never find a husband, be married, and have children. That's my understanding. And that's why I say that Jephthah did not sacrifice his daughter as a burnt offering, but he did give her to the Lord as the Levites were an offering to the Lord. Then in the fourth place, my fourth argument, we are told that as a result of Jephthah's separation, or Jephthah's daughter's separation unto the Lord, and being unable to marry and be a mother, we read in verse 40, the daughters of Jerusalem went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days a year. Now you look at those words and you say, well, that's pretty conclusive. Because the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, and they would do this 4 days every year. Now you would say, well, if they're going to lament the daughter of Jephthah, that must indicate that she was indeed slain. She's dead. And every year they go and lament her, passing. But turn back, please, to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. And in Judges 5 and verse 11, we find the same word, lament, only translated another way. Judges 5 and verse 11. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. The word rehearse, is the same word lament. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse, they will talk about the righteous acts of the Lord. And so we're talking there, the word refers to a conversation. A conversation about something. And in that case, they would rehearse, they would discuss between themselves and talk about the righteous acts of the Lord. Now we come back to Judges 11 and verse 40. That the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah. But those words can be rendered another way. To lament the daughter of Jephthah may also be put to talk with the daughter of Jephthah. To talk with. Now, you don't need to be a rocket science to work it out that if she's dead, if she was offered as a burnt offering by her father, then there's no way the daughters of Israel could talk with her. There's no way that the daughters of Israel could converse with her. But that's what the word means. To talk with her. Not to lament her death. I have no doubt there was some sorrow felt by the daughters of Israel because one of their own would never be able to marry and have children. And no doubt they lamented that with her, but they talked with her. They conversed with her. Perhaps the actions and words of Jephthah have overshadowed the character and the conduct of this daughter of his. But that's what we want to look at. We're not going to get doing it this morning. We'll preach this word tonight. But I want us to see that Jephthah's daughter, as far as I can see from Scripture, and I had to convince myself of this, that Jephthah's daughter was not slain, was not offered as a burnt offering, as a burnt sacrifice, for the reasons that I have stated. First of all, such a human sacrifice was forbidden by the Lord. And I don't believe for one moment that Jephthah would have done that. He was so conscientious about fulfilling the vow and obeying the Lord. He would not have obeyed the Lord by disobeying the Lord. He would not have fulfilled his vow if it meant disobeying the commandment of God. And the commandment of God forbid human sacrifice. Secondly, our second argument was to do with the verse 31. Whatsoever, if he was thinking of his daughter or a human, he would have said, whosoever. And the word and in the verse 31 may also be rendered or. Or I will offer it, not her or him, but it, up for a burnt offering. And thirdly, she was saddened because she could never marry and have children. That's why Jephthah was saddened. And Jephthah offered his daughter as the priests were offered. In Numbers 8, verses 11 to 15. They were offered to the Lord to carry out a service for the Lord in the tabernacle. And that's what I believe happened to Jephthah's daughter. And then we're told that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah. And the word lament means to rehearse, or those words also can mean to talk with. So they went out to meet Jephthah's daughter 4 days in the year to talk with her. That's my arguments. That's the conclusion I have come to. So in the light of that, that has laid the foundation then for our study of the character and conduct of this young woman. And we want to look at Jephthah's daughter, and our message tonight will be the devoted daughter. If ever there was a devoted daughter, a daughter devoted to her father and devoted to the Lord, it was Jephthah's daughter. And in the will of the Lord, we will consider that this evening. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and gracious Father, we bless Thee for the Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for being able to study the Word. We bless Thee, Lord, that this Bible is an open book. We can read it from Genesis to Revelation. We can study it, every chapter, and every verse, and every line. We bless Thee, our gracious Father, that we can indeed search the Scriptures and see if these things are true. And we pray, Lord, that indeed Thou would make us all ready students of the Word. So, Lord, bless this Word to our hearts. And, O Lord, as we consider the devoted daughter of Jephthah this evening, we pray, our God, that we might have the same spirit that she had. We'll demonstrate the same devotion. And, O gracious Lord, we, as she did, we also will live for the Lord.